Saving a Sick America, a prescription for moral and cultural transformation. That is a new book, and it's been written by Dr. Michael Brown. He returns as a guest right here on Vocal Point. My name is Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Brown, it's so great to have you back on.
Always great to be with you. Thanks so much.
And surely we are at a time when we need a moral and cultural and, frankly, a Christian transformation in this land, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are in a critical situation right now. And anyone that has their eyes open knows that America is not in good shape in many ways, and that the church is not in good shape in many ways. Thank God there are pockets of things happening where God's people are vibrant and alive. But really, for a whole generation now, rather than us changing the world has changed us.
Mm.
And we are in a very dire situation. But it was last year, I was praying one morning, and I just heard this quiet voice inside saying, write a book on the fall and rise of America. Not a book on the rise and fall of America, but the fall and rise, meaning there's still hope for America. And that's the whole message that infuses this book. Yes, we are in critical condition, but there is hope, and God has given us the prescription for moral and cultural transformation.
Hmm. So, in other words, this book is, again, Saving a Sick America as opposed to Resurrecting a Dead America. Excellent point.
Yeah, or damning a lost America forever.
Yeah.
Basically, you go to the doctor. The opening chapter depicts a man with his family. He lives in the suburbs of Pennsylvania. It's the early 1960s. It's TV night. He's watching Leave It to Beaver with his family. And he falls asleep and wakes up, and it's today. And the shock of it is
Rip Van Winkle.
It's just a short intro, but it paints a picture. So it's kind of like you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know something is wrong, and the doctor gives you a real dire diagnosis. But he says, look, there is hope. There's something radical we need to do. But if you'll do this, you can be healthier than you've ever been. Jerry, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it guarantees me that there cannot be another great awakening in America.
Hmm.
And when I look at Scripture, when I look at God's Word, and I look at the problems in America, I find in God's Word, there's the prescription. Here are the things we need to do. If we will live by these principles, starting with us, God's people, the church, we can see America changed.
You know, by the way, an interesting thought here, Jonah can be contrasted with the small little Old Testament book of Nahum. Both preached in Nineveh, but in the case of Jonah, he preached about 150 years before, and thank God, for those people's sake, that the Ninevites repented and God showed them mercy. And yet, Nahum, by the time you get to that, 150 or so years later, it's too late. And Nineveh is now going to be judged, and this time it happens, and there's no repentance, and there's no forgiveness, and there's no resurrection. So it's an interesting contrast between those two books of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but hopefully America is in the days of Jonah and not in the days of Nahum, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, look, there could be the final call and America goes down. We don't know that, but this much we know. There are many who want to throw in the towel. There are many who say the culture wars are over. There are many who say, look, the handwriting's on the wall.
Yeah.
Face the music. This is the reality. Everything is going down. It's going down rapidly. Nothing is going to go in the other direction. Everything is heading down. And just accept it. Accept the inevitable. I'm not accepting the inevitable. Look, we're in dark places, but what does light do? Light shines.
Sure.
And again, I don't see it written where God's word says America in the year 2017 is heading down only. You say, yeah, but how could we ever turn the tide? I mean, marriage has been redefined. Gender is under attack. Families are falling apart. There's so much sin and corruption in America. We have such a culture of death. You know, it's not just the abortion culture, it's the entertainment of zombies and vampires. I mean, it's just a death culture that we're in. Yeah, in the natural, it's very dire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, massive debt and excess in every way. It's all about me mentality and culture, degeneration of our schools, our campuses going so radical left. in the natural, very, very dire. But one thing I do, and I know you're familiar with the origins of our nation and the early history of America,
mm-hmm.
you go back to our roots, you go back to our foundations, and what made us great was the Word of God.
Amen.
What made us great was principles, Judeo-Christian principles. And if we can recover them, not a theocracy where we try to take over and impose them on the nation, but if we could start living by God's ways are life. And God's ways, God's truth, God's wisdom can transform even the most foul sinner. Same with the family, same with the community, same with a nation. So I want to shout from the rooftops, it's not too late for America.
Hmm. SavingASickAmerica.com is the website dedicated directly to this book. Let's talk about the culture of life versus what we have today.
Yeah, so we need to recover a few essential truths. One is that we're created in the image of God. I go to Genesis 1, and I say, let's look at the fundamental truths that are there. And you contrast Genesis 1 with all the ancient creation accounts and accounts of these other warring deities. No, there's one transcendent God who creates the universe, who creates human beings in his own image. And that means that the least of us has value and dignity. That means that the oldest and the weakest and the most vulnerable has value and dignity. That means the baby in the womb mm-hmm. has value and dignity. Mm-hmm. And then when we move on from there, create an image of God, and then we begin to see, read the book of Proverbs, living by God's ways brings life. Violating God's principles brings death. So, you know, if you had 10 million people, right, and half of them smoked cigarettes regularly, were morbidly obese, and drank heavily, their lives, on average, are going to be a lot shorter mm-hmm. than the ones that don't drink, smoke, and are in good fit shape, obviously. It's the same with God's ways. They are ways of life. The prescription he gives us for family, the prescription he gives us for sexual morality, the prescription he gives us in many, many other ways, if we'll follow it, it leads to life. So I lay out many things in our culture, the death entertainment that surrounds us, the yeah. violent video games that get more and more intense and violent. So look, just chart out over a month how much death you take in by choice. Not that you're in a war zone and people are dying around you, but by choice for entertainment in a casual way. And then wean yourself from that. Sit just for a month and instead immerse yourself. Read Proverbs and John every day, which are both books of life, and then begin to change some of the things you do. It's amazing how we can literally reprogram our brains, and then the things that will entertain us will be things from above and not things from below. It's a holistic change of mind and attitude.
Hmm. Amen. How about a comment about the sexual revolution?
You know, it's interesting that Playboy magazine had its first spread with Marilyn Monroe nude photo shoot in 1953. Mm. And then last year they announced no more pornography on our website or in our magazine. Why? Well, they said it's everywhere. Porn is everywhere. Porn is completely ubiquitous, so it's no longer a selling point for our magazine and for our website. In fact, it distracts from our good articles. And they did that for a little while, and I thought, well, no, everybody still wants it, so we're bringing it back. That's the change that's taken place. You've got children in middle school, 11, 12 years old, sexting each other, sending themselves naked pictures of one another. I mean, it's an extraordinary time. When I was a heroin-shooting, LSD-using hippie rock drummer, age 15, 16, in 1970, 1971, I didn't even know that some of the junk exists that an 8-year-old could find on a cell phone today. So the sexual revolution has really taken its toll. And then, of course, the redefining of family and the exalting of homosexuality and other expressions. It's extraordinary to see what's happened. But we can actually have a revolution of purity because the sexual revolution has burnt itself out. It has not given Americans more freedom. It has not helped the family. Instead, it's decimated us in many ways. I don't just mean sexually transmitted diseases, but the cheapening of sex, the devaluing of sex, less and less people getting married, people having sex outside of wedlock, getting married for shorter periods of time. These things ultimately fail. And then it's never enough. It keeps going further and further and further. And I don't know many people that think that the massive access to porn that we have and all the porn addiction is for the good of the society. So what do? We go back to Scripture. And Scripture shows us the beauty of sexual purity. Scripture shows us the purpose of sex. Scripture shows us how to live sexually pure and disciplined lives. The prescription is all there in Scripture. So each chapter where I deal with major issues in our society, I lay out, if we'll live by this, we can be blessed. Our nation can be blessed.
Mm. All right. Let's talk about schools, because I think that this is a huge one, because let's face it, the average Christian in America still is going to be going to the public schools. And a lot of times that's all that, you know, families can afford. And yet, you know, unfortunately, there's so much of a non-Christian worldview that is transmitted. So you've got a lot of young people. They may be in the church, but they've got, let's say, an hour or two of input on Sunday morning. And then in contrast to that, they've got, 20 hours or 30 hours of schooling every week. And, the church can't compete when you think about it.
Yeah, and it's not just that. They're then surrounded, bombarded with social media and media. And a lot of times they spend much, much, much more time under that influence than under the influence of their parents and godly peers. And there are fine public schools that do a great job.
Yes.
And that do not impose an immoral agenda on the children.
And thank God for those teachers and the administrators and so forth. You know, I'm not in any way disparaging them, but I don't like
overall.
Yeah, exactly.
Overall.
The elitists.
You're absolutely right. The state of our schools is not good. Children are not learning how to think critically anymore. Children are learning just a relative morality. What's right for you may not be right for me. They're even learning relative truth. You have your truth, I have my truth. And then when you get into colleges, they have gone so radically left. And, you have feminist approaches to geography. And you, rather than learning history, you react to it. You respond to it. What do I think about it? How do I feel about it? So
that's kind of what all this statue, let's break up, let's destroy all these different statues of history and so forth. You know, the new American Taliban. It's kind of like that, but anyway, go on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And earlier in the book, I lay out the Christian origins of school after school, from Harvard to Princeton to Columbia to Yale. And it's shocking. You can't believe that any of these schools were ever like that. But that's how they started. And I'm not saying go back to being seminaries. I'm saying go back to being colleges and universities that teach and educate and build character and prepare people for the world, as opposed to basically getting them in a place where now when finals come, they need coloring books and therapy dogs because of the stress.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
and not
that's
just the finals, but when Trump won, that's exactly what happened. Okay, we have about 1 minute to wrap up. How about a comment on the church? Because I would think you think that the key to saving a sick America, savingasickamerica.com, is the church.
Yes, sir. And of course, in the education chapter, the chapter on the schools, I talk about what parents can do, what educators can do, and how we need to learn to think again. But I see this today as the church's great opportunity. I see the darkness as the opportunity for light. I see this as the time now where if we will go to God earnestly in repentance, if we will seek him desperately in prayer, if we will go afresh to reach the lost and renew our commitment to the Great Commission, we can actually see the greatest awakening in American history. The last chapter of the book is called The Church's Great Opportunity. And what I'm hearing from reader after reader in a sober way is the book has filled them with fresh hope.
Wow, that's great. Dr. Michael Brown, again, his new book is called Saving America, or actually it's called Saving a Sick America, and the website is savingasickamerica.com. Dr. Brown, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
My joy. Thank you, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.